Thank you, Mr. Westall, very much for that beautiful music. Gospel of John, chapter 15. We are in the hate section of Scripture, where the world hates Jesus Christ and the significance of that, and therefore the world hates all who are in Christ, especially those who are a witness of Christ. First of all, in regard to our prayer, I'm going to continue to be in prayer for Tish. She went to the doctor yesterday and got a good report. Everything looks really good. She's still got several more weeks of healing to do and just slowly moving around. So continue to be in prayer for her healing. Bill Hess was moved from the hospital, and Tyson Carmen today, he moved him, and he said he's just doing really, really nice. They moved him to a hospice care, and so I'm going to try to go by and see him in a day or two. So let's be in prayer for Bill Hess, be in prayer for Donald Wise. Let's see. Let me think. Any other prayer requests that we need to be in prayer for?
Cindy and all the family.
Cindy, our member in Wichita Falls, Texas. And Cindy Edwards and the entire family just needs our prayers and according to God's plan. So please be in prayer for Cindy. She's a trooper. And so be in prayer for her. Kid, I don't want to get involved in your private life, but let's just continue to be in prayer for Alicia.
Alicia, she's
through the coop and... just lay it out there. I want you to go that deep.
She's 18, but my wife and my sister, I didn't even talk to her. So on a Sunday night, before she left for my house, I sat down and talked with her, before I even started talking, I don't heard it all. I don't want to hear it again. So, well, you got a plan for your life? No. So you're just going to drift? Yep. Okay. So, I mean, I've given her the gospel before, and so she's got that, but I just pray that God makes that real in her life, and she knows what the choices are.
A lot of young people they're not like our generation. They don't see long-range thing. People are going to take care of them and all this, and they don't see a long-range plan. But so we'll be in prayer, Alicia, my goodness. Any other prayer requests? Okay, let's begin. Please do continue to be in prayer for our young people. Hey, Cameron, what's going on, man?
Not much.
All right. Be in prayer for our young people. And just going to have fun talking with you. I'm going to have a few moments with Chris after class tonight. And one of the things I'm going to ask him is if little Ben can sing for us before he takes off some Sunday morning. Now, I don't know if he'll sing a secular song or a spiritual song, but we'll work that out. And but he won the talent show. And boy, they applauded and all this stuff and blew him away. So this may be the second phase of his stardom. And so we'll just see if we can get that before he takes off. September 4th or 7th? 4th. September the 4th. We need to be in prayer for the Dags as they prepare to get ready to go and then as they leave. And just pray them through their round the world journey. And okay, let's begin with a word of prayer. Hours before Jesus Christ was crucified, it's recorded that he warned us of the hatred of the world. They hated him. They crucified him. They beat him. They spit on him, put him through illegal trials, false accusations, and then nailed him to a cross. The religious world under the Jewish religion, the secular world under the Roman Empire, the world hates him. And somehow, Heavenly Father, that caused him to think of us. That as the world hated him and persecuted him, he let us know that the world hates us. We're in Christ. And they will persecute us. Heavenly Father, our country has not seen too much of this kind of persecution in the history of this short history, brief history of this country, but it may be coming. So, Father, we are hanging on and looking at every one of these words by Jesus Christ in this warning. Pray your Spirit will open our eyes to the things that you would have us to see, that we may be aware of these things. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. But two Wednesday nights ago, we did a rather abrasive study in regard to the United States of America and the hatred by the world. And we closed with some points on why the world hates us. The world hates us because it hated Jesus Christ. Chapter 15, verse 18. Secondly, the world hates us because the world hates anything that does not conform to it. This whole ideal of separation of church and state sounds very nice to us. But if you hear it from the world's point of view, that means you're not part of us. You're not conformed to us. And therefore they resent the church. The world hates the church. Then three, very close, the world hates us because we are chosen out from the world. And this goes chapter 15, verses 19 and 20. And we kind of looked at Job, how Job was one of the four men because Job thought as they did. But then the Lord started taking Job on a journey and pulled him out, and they became sorrowful friends, pitiful friends. So we spent some time in that regard with it. And number four, the world hates us because it is ignorant of God the Father, verse 21. And that brings us to where we are tonight in dealing with the hatred of the world. The hatred of the world toward Jesus Christ. And when Jesus Christ says the world, he is referring here all those who refuse to believe in Jesus Christ as Savior. They are part of the world system. Jesus Christ refers to the world as those who have chosen, rejected Him, chosen the ruler of this world, Satan, and all his policies. The world refers to those who try to be wise, but of course, as we saw in Romans, become fools. The world involves all those who are independent of God. No need for God, no need for Jesus Christ. They deny their own Creator. We saw this in Romans 1, 2, and part 3. Dealing with the hatred of the world against Jesus Christ and against all those who believe in Him, especially those who are witnesses of Jesus Christ, and we'll be seeing more of that. There are no witnesses of Jesus Christ. There are no witnesses of Christ. The world would be content. The world would be content in its heathenism, in its denial of God and its denial of Jesus Christ. But as long as there are those who are not ashamed or afraid to carry their Bibles, go to church, and witness for Christ, this sheds the light on their sinful rejection of Jesus Christ. So they hate, and they must at least try to terminate all the witnessing dealing with this Jesus. This is why the Muslims must kill any witnessing of Jesus Christ, where they get away with it, or they can get away with the actual murdering, which is happening in many countries throughout the world. Now, in verse 21, it starts off, but all these things, the persecution, And we saw this can be from mild to severe, to murder. Now, I'm going to give you three websites. And what you can do is, if you can go in on this, you will see currently what's happening in Pakistan by the Muslims. This is happening in several countries in Africa, Kenya, Nigeria, northern Nigeria, Sudan. This is the type of thing that's happening. But what I want to show you, and to read this, let me get out my spectacles. And here we go. I went to the VA yesterday and to the audiology department, and they're ordering me some ear things. And I told them I didn't want the ones that fit way down in the ear. I just cannot. I've got those. Can't do it. So I told them, I want the kind back. I said, I'm married now. Vanity's gone. And so got a thing that's going to hear, and the little wire come out and all that. And I hope it helps. And but let me give you this website. And in one of these, this is not for weak people, because you'll actually see a Christian being beheaded on by camera. So this is what's going on in Pakistan today by the Muslims against Christianity, against Christians. It's HTTP://www.youtube.com/watch V as in victory, and then an equal sign, CJJF UMT GOB 4 and then the sign for an and, the and sign, and feature, FEATURE, equal, related. http://www.youtube.com/watch?v=CJJFUMT GOB 4 and the sign for and feature=related. Now the second the thing you'll want to see in all this violence going on currently in Pakistan is everything is the same up to the where we have the watch?y=. Now after that equal, we're going to add something else. Equal, and then we're changing it. Equal, small r. Okay, V. Right after the ?V, equal, R, capital Y, capital Z, 4X or times C. 4, the number 4. The number 4, XC, YK2M, capital Y, capital K, capital 2, M, capital M, and feature, equal related. These are gruesome things, people. These are things going on to Christians right now. And the third one, everything's the same, down to the ?, the V, equal, now you want 3, the number 3, a capital K, capital O, and then a small j, capital K, and then the number 743. 743. X, small n. Capital A, and the symbol for and, feature, equal related. And those are some pretty gruesome films of what's going on to Christians right now in Pakistan. I don't have anything. I looked, couldn't find anything in dealing with what's going on in Kenya, what's going on in Nigeria. And they're slowly moving down in Nigeria, killing more and more Christians and the Christian influence. So this is the extreme of what happens in regard to these things. So now let's move into our study tonight in regard to the hatred. And let's read verses 17 through 20 together. Verses 17 through 20 of John 15. Verse 17, "This I command you, that you love one another. If the world hates you..." And the most Bibles put a break between 17 and 18. There shouldn't be. They go together. "If the world..." "This I command you, that you love one another. The reason you love one another, since the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world, but you're not..." First class condition. "The world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world," which is one of the reasons they hate us, "because of this, the world hates you. Verse 20, "Remember the word that I said to you, a slave is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also." And now we're ready for verse 21. And we got a little bit done before the break last week when went to camp. And thank you for your prayers. Just wonderful time, wonderful camp. Some young people believed in Jesus Christ, the Savior. Just think some wonderful things happened at the camp. Some are already looking forward to next year. I was in the post office Monday, and had a send a priority mail to John Henson. Was talking to the guys behind the counter. We're good friends and all. And every time I go in, we kid each other and stuff. And this lady came out, and she said, "Oh my goodness, you took my daughter to camp last week." And it's a little girl, blonde. Her name is Jenny. Does that ring a bell? Okay. And she said she has an older sister who didn't want to be gone away from home, and she was really concerned about Jenny because, you know, it's her first time to ever be away from home, and she just knew. She just knew. She said, "I knew my daughter would get lonely and call me and cry." She said, "Never called me, didn't cry at all, came home happy." And so that's caused her older sister to want to go next year to camp. So we already got one new one. So just thank you for your prayers, and just continue to be in prayer through the year. I'm going to try to do some things through the year with them, and just be in prayer. Okay, but let's get back now to verse 21. "But all these things, from mild mistreatment to murder..." Now, in America, we see just the beginning of all of this, and it's happening through the legal system. Not happening by a physical type of force, but it's stepping through the legal system. We've already seen that the nation will, I believe this nation will fall, not from some great military invasion of this country. However, if Obama continues to just completely dismantle our military, we'll be susceptible to that. But in historical terms, I don't think it's going to be by an invasion of this country. It's going to be from within. Namely, the judicial system and the educational system, passing laws that are anti-Christ, anti-Christian, and anti the principles of the Bible. Right now, under Obama, we have government agencies paid by taxpayers to promote the Islamic religion. So the world, the cosmic system, will first use a judicial branch of our government to do these things that he's talking about here. But these things, and why not? Because they use the judicial system against Christ. They use religious trials and secular political trials. So he went through both of them. They used the judicial system to crucify him. Now, with that in mind, how they would use the judicial system, look with me, if you will, with that in mind, at Galatians chapter, Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. I'll show you something that's interesting. Galatians 5. All right, Galatians 5, and let's start reading at verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Now look at the next phrase. Against such things there is no law. And why is there no law? These are produced by the Holy Spirit, and they're either on the inside of the soul of the Spirit-filled believer only, or they are simply a one-on-one type of basis. But against the fruit of the Spirit, there is no law passed by any judicial system. Okay, let's go back now to verse 21. And John chapter 15, verse 21, the world that hates Jesus Christ, will do to you, believers, namely those who walk in the Holy Spirit, because of my name's sake, or on account of me. Not for the benefit of my name, but because of my name, on account of me. Now it says, because they do not know the one who sent me. This is an interesting phrase. They do not know the one who sent me. Now with that in mind, look at Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. They do not know the one who sent me. Okay, Romans chapter 1, and let's read verse 18. Romans chapter 1, verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which is known about God is evident within them. For God made it evident in them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. For even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks. But they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for the image in the form of corruptible man and of birds and of four-footed animals and crawling creatures. Okay, now let's go back to John 15. So what we have here is they will understand, but they don't know. Now, why don't we just take a look at this? It's the Romans who help us to understand that John 15:21, they do not know the one who sent me. Why do they hate Jesus Christ? Why do they persecute those who follow Him? Because, causal conjunction, they do not know. Okay. Due to what's going on in our own nation, I think we need to spend a little time here. I believe there are many Christians have, over the years, become like the Romans. We have, without realizing it, put our faith, put our confidence, put our hope in America. And I think this is true of a lot of Christians. They kind of go together. We've been trusting it. It's like when after 9-1-1, I had more than one, several different people, well, I'm just not going to fly in planes anymore. The plane's going to the building. And I said, wait a minute. Was your faith in a plane? Was your faith in a pilot? Is that why the only reason you got on a plane is because you were trusting the plane and the pilot? Well, you were wrong. I never got on a plane trusting the plane and the pilot. Every time I get on a plane, it's a whisper of prayer. And so we now come to a realization that we don't have our faith in America. This is not our faith. It fostered freedom and was acceptable to Christianity. But people, America is just another nation. It's just another nation in history. And for all practical purposes, it's going down. Open up any book or table of content of world history. Rise and fall of nations. Did we think this is going to escape our country somehow? Somehow this was just, boy, we are have a wall around us. An impregnable wall that Satan cannot enter. How foolish if you did. How foolish. It's just another nation, a wonderful nation in its history. Our hope should never have been in America. It should always have been in God, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, His Word. Not in America. After 9-1-1, things started changing. Actually, it started changing long before that, but we just didn't see it. We just didn't see it. America has changed. It's not changing. It has changed. It has changed. It has changed, and a Christian better stop mourning about America and better start concentrating on the Lord. Not Rome, but the Lord. We studied this in Revelation chapters 2 and 3, where Smyrna and some of the churches were persecuted by Rome, and we saw why. Why? You mean you won't bow to Rome? Look what Rome has done. Rome has given us freedom. Rome has opened up trade. Rome has given us roads. Rome has given us all these wonderful things. How can you not praise Almighty Rome? And these Christians refused to do that. They refused to bow to Rome. They were appreciative for the freedom, but it wasn't their God. So we need to be careful. And we need to concentrate on the Lord, concentrate on His Word, concentrate on walking in the power of the Spirit of God, not on Rome. Christians were persecuted for not bowing to Rome. And Rome just provided so much. It provided, as we said, protection, security, trade, travel, even medical, all these wonderful things. But it was a nation. Wasn't the Lord. So why wouldn't people worship Rome? Why would you not bow down to Rome, Smyrna? Why would you not? Because Jesus Christ is our God. Jesus Christ is our Lord, not Rome. This country turns away from God, gets darker and darker, and hatred toward God, hatred of Jesus Christ, hatred of His Word, and hatred of those who follow Him. Take that Bible out of the judicial system. Take that Bible out of the educational system. Take that Bible out of churches as much as possible. Got to get rid of that witness of Christ. This is going to get stronger and stronger. Now look what it says. Because they do not know. All right, let's look at the negative, not. Let's look at that negative, not. There are two negatives in the Greek here. that are pertinent to our study. And one of those is OU, and may. That's M-E. May, pronounced may. It's a long E. May. All right? Ooh and may. Now, the may does not shut the door completely. May does not shut the door completely. It leaves it open. See? May I kiss you? No. But, yeah, go ahead and give it a shot. I might give in to you, see? That's may. But ooh, the first word here, it shuts the door completely. It's unqualified. No, absolutely not. Expressing a direct and full negation, independently and absolutely. See? And may, the second word, is conditional. And hypothetical negation. There's maybe, no, but it's workable. And the one we have here, they do not know me, is ooh. Demanding absolute negation. They do not know me. They do not want to know me. Because they do not know. Then we have the present active indicative of the Greek word eido. Looks like this. And that's E-I-D, long O, eido. And this isn't gnosis. This is not epinosis. This is eido. They do not know experientially. They do not know where it makes a difference in their soul. See, they know from the Romans 1, reason I read the Romans 1, they know God. They know God. But they do not know Him experientially. What I understand is they claim to know God, and even religions under the Christian umbrella claim to know, understand God. But their view of God is not of truth. See, if you distort the gospel, Galatians chapter 1, they distort the gospel. You tweak it. You don't take the gospel away. You just distort it a little bit. Tweak it a little bit. Improve it a little bit. Add to it. Subtract from it. Something like that. Well, let me explain something to you. That when you do that, it's because of your view of God. You don't know Him. Now you say, I know God, and this is the way to be saved. And this is no, you don't know God. This is one of the great problems. They don't know God. They don't know Jesus, but they don't know God here in context. They do not know God. They claim to know Him, but they do not. Everyone who believes in a false, distorted gospel believes in their view of God. And to the degree that they distort the gospel, pervert the gospel, is founded upon their distortion of God. They don't know Him. Got to know Him in truth. Who and what He is in truth. Had they known God, they would have known Jesus Christ. And in knowing Jesus Christ, they would have seen God. They would have seen the manifestation of God. There are many people who claim to know Jesus Christ, but that knowledge does not make a difference in their lives. They still seek happiness in the world. They still seek things in the world. And the time is coming when you're going to have to know Jesus Christ, know God the Father, to the point where it makes a difference in your life, to the point where it gives you the moral courage, if it ever came to actual persecution and harm, and then jeopardize your home, your life, your work, everything, to keep your stand for Christ. You're going to need, as we saw a couple of weeks ago in our study of the Holy Spirit and in Revelation, if you fully understand what that means to be filled with the Spirit, this is where you're going to get that moral courage not just from the knowledge of doctrine, but from the power of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and the filling of the Holy Spirit to be able to go on. And this is going to become drastically clear during the tribulation, where they will be absolutely persecuted, killed for their view. So the time is coming, I believe, when Christians are going to have to really know Jesus Christ, going to have to know the Holy Spirit and how to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Is it going to work? John was telling me about this man. He has a little church in Phoenix. His name is Buck. He used to be a Green Beret. John has been talking with him and talking with him for years. And he finally sees it so clearly. And he went to a camp where this summer where they do not believe what you and I believe as far as spirituality, but what I used to believe, 1 John 1:9. And he got up and he just said, okay, you kids are taught this way to be filled with the Spirit and confessing your sins. And let me ask you something. Is it working? Is it working? And I mean, they said, no, it is not working. And he said, well, let me tell you the truth, how to be filled with the Spirit. You try this on for size. And he told them, my faith in the Holy Spirit. Time's going to be, people, we're going to need that power, that Holy Spirit, to have the courage to stand. I'm not talking about a macho man, take out my gun and shoot anybody that comes up to my... I'm talking about the courage to keep your stand for Christ in the midst of all this kind of trouble. Okay, they do not know. It's a present active indicative, noting the status quo of the society of the world. Present active indicative in decision making, judicial decisions, educational decisions, even in the religious area. Open gay churches, totally opposed to the Word of God. We're going to teach you the Word of God, but this is a gay church. Whoa, wait a minute. You start off on a lie, but it's accepted. Do not care what the Bible says. Flaunt it. Okay. We do not know, the world does not know God. Look at 1 John for a moment, please. It's worth your time to look. 1 John chapter 3. They do not know God, but they claim to know God. First John chapter 3, verse 1. See how great a love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called children of God, and such we are. For this reason, the world does not know us, because it does not know Him. So we're dealing with this whole thing of knowing what they think they know, what they claim they know, being wise they become fools. And this is intensifying, I believe, in our own country, certainly in the world in which you and I live. Christians in America have assumed that since this nation was being prospered, not necessarily blessed, but prospered, since it's being prospered, everything was all right between God and this country. And all the while, this nation was getting darker and darker and darker, and it's still getting darker. Even members of the body of Christ were passing by the truth of the light. Let's look at Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Once again. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. For you were called to freedom, brethren, believers, only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, spiritual love, serve one another. That's going to be the theme next year at camp. It's going to be spiritual love. So do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh. Rather than using our freedom, one, the freedom in this land, and the spiritual freedom we have in Christ, instead of using that freedom to serve one another, we use it for opportunity of the flesh. Not necessarily sinful, just for self, at the expense of studying the Word, church, walking in the power of the Spirit. And with this, the body of Christ is losing its light. It's losing its witness, which is what the world wants. If there's no witness of Christ, we're very content. The world's very content. Doesn't have that influence of Christ. Okay? Because they did not know the one who sent me. Okay. The one who sent me, this is an aorist, point in time when God the Father sent him, and active participle of the verb pimpo. Pimpo. That's P-E-M-P long O. Pimpo. Now you'll have to kind of stay with me on some Greek tonight. Pimpo. Okay. Why Jesus Christ? What's so special about Jesus? Why do you Christians make such a big deal about Christians? I'll tell you something that happened at camp. And since Chris wasn't the director this time, I can go ahead and say it. If he were the director, I would be afraid to say this in front of him. But I went there with a whole other deal to teach. But what happened was I got in there and started teaching and realized dealing with little souls, didn't really know who Jesus Christ was. They talk about him, we give him the gospel, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. But who is he? And I tell you what, I think it was the Holy Spirit, because I came up almost while I was teaching, but with five things. Because you got to keep it simple. And one, that he is the Son of God. He is the only one sent by God. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is my Savior and my friend. A personal element in there. And then I just have him repeat it. Over and over. Yes, or, can't hear you! And it shouted out and said, why didn't you do that first of all? And I wouldn't have to make you repeat. But who is Jesus? Why is this Jesus so special? Not Muhammad. Not Muhammad. Not Buddha. And I didn't say Mary Ellis Baker and all those other people, but not all these other people. What's so special about Jesus? Because he's the only one sent by God, people. That's your response. When you get to school, and you're talking to your friends, and what you believe comes up, and you say, well, I believe in Jesus Christ. Well, why? What's so special about him? What are you going to say to him? Well, he's the only one sent by God. He's the only one that is the way to God, the truth of God, and the life of God. He's my Savior. Died on a cross for me. So this is what's special about Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ is the only one sent by God to bring man to God, to redeem mankind, to be the light of the world. Now there are two words in the Greek for sending, commissioning. Each word emphasizes relationships. Our word, pimpo, that we have in our context, they do not know the one who sent me, emphasizes the relationship of the one doing the sending and the one sent. So this word emphasizes the relationship, put it on the board, the relationship between God the Father and Jesus Christ, His Son. That's what our word emphasizes. Emphasizes the relationship between the one doing the sending and the one sent. God the Father and Jesus Christ. There is another word in the English just translated sent, and that is the word apostello. Apostello. Alright, that's A-P-O-S-T-E-L-L-O. Apostello. Now, apostello, you can see these are two entirely different words, pimpo and apostello. Apostello emphasizes the relationship between the one doing the sending, that would be God the Father, and the ones to whom the person's being sent. The one doing the sending and the ones to whom this person is sent. Okay? Give you an idea. This, in other words, this word emphasizes the relationship of God the Father and the world. Look at John 3 for a moment. John 3, the Gospel of John, chapter 3. John 3. All right, John chapter 3, verse 16. John 3, 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Now, our word is not here, but I use this as an example. Here you can plainly see it's a relationship of God and the world. He loved the world. And because he loved the world, he sent his Son. Verse 17. For God did not send the Son into the world. Uh-oh. There's our word. And this is the word, apostello. Did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. He who believes in him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. But in verse 17, this word to send is the relationship between God and the world. Look at John 6, please. John 6. And let's read together. Verse 38. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Okay, now this word is the word pimpo, emphasizing the relationship of the one doing sending and the one sent. This emphasizes the relationship of God the Father and Jesus Christ. You can almost, not all the time, but you can almost kind of tell by the context what the emphasis is. Like the John 3:17, it's obvious it's the world. But in this one, all he's talking about is himself and the Father, the one who sent him. Verse 39, this is the will of him who sent me, that of all that he has given me, I lose nothing, but raise it up on the last day. This is pimpo, emphasizing the relationship between God the Father and Jesus Christ. Okay? Now, Gospel of John 17. Gospel of John 17. Verse 3, this is eternal life. Okay, so he's talking about eternal life to people, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Now, jump out there and just, which one do you think this is? Is this pimpo that emphasizes the relationship of the Father and the Son? Or is this apostello that emphasizes the relationship of God the Father and mankind? What would you think? Okay? This is apostello. See, it deals with the people. Once you read that first word, this is eternal life. Okay, who's he bringing eternal life to? Mankind. So it's about man. It's about man, emphasizing the relationship of the Father and those to whom he sent. This is eternal life. That they, so here again, emphasizing man, may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. So this emphasizes the relationship. Look at verse 8 of chapter 17. For the words which you gave me, I have given to them, and they received them and truly understood that I came forth from you, and they believed that you sent me. That's apostello, emphasizing again the relationship of the Father and those to whom he has been sent. Look at verse 22, chapter 17. Chapter 22. The glory which you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, just as we are one. I and them, you and me, that they may be perfected in unity, so that the world may know that you sent me. Apostello. Relationship of the Father and the ones to whom he sent. And loved them. See? Father loved them and sent me. That's why he sent Jesus Christ, because he loves the world. Even as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, be with me where I am, so that they may see my glory, which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundations of the world. Verse 25, O righteous Father, although the world has not known you, yet I have known you, and these have known that you sent me to them. The world knows that you sent me to them, emphasizing again the relationship of the Father and the world. And I have made your name known to them, and will make it known to, so that the love with which you love me may be in them, and I in them. Relationship with the Father, with the world. It's very important to God the Father to know, for us to know, he loved us, even while we were sinners, even while we were his enemies. He loved us so much, he sent his Son. Now, sometimes the word will emphasize his Son. But in a lot of these cases, emphasizes his love of the world, all apostello. Okay, let's go to John 15 now. Go back to John 15. John 15, verse 21. Because they do not know the one who sent me. They do not know the one who sent me. Pimpo. Emphasizing the relationship between the Father and Jesus Christ. Now, here's the principle. You reject Jesus Christ, you reject the one who sent him. You reject Christ, you reject the one who sent him. He's going to come up with that in the next few verses. They're different, yet similar. Such a close relationship. You reject Jesus Christ, you reject the one who sent him. Okay? Because they do not know the one who sent me. Aorist active participle of pimpo. The action of the aorist participle precedes the action of the main verb. God the Father sent Jesus Christ, and now they do not know him. And they should know him now. He has come. They've seen. If you see Jesus Christ, you see the Father. But they don't know the Father. And they should. Let's look at the process of the hatred and the absence of knowledge of Jesus Christ. Let's just note a few things here. One, in Romans 1, we read where God has made his being evident. His existence is evident in all mankind. Two, but mankind rejected this understanding and substituted it with their own wisdom. Romans chapter 1. But mankind rejected this understanding and substituted it with their own wisdom. Three, seeing that they were getting away with this rejection, in their mind, seeing they were getting away with rejection, they turned their rejection into ignorance. And here's the kicker. This is what is, here is the real kicker of this whole study that I think is just so interesting. And they turned their ignorance into hatred. The world hates that which it denies. The world hates. It denies God, it denies Christ, takes up its own way, and it hates God, and it hates Christ. You hate that which doesn't exist? Boy, that's really weird. But see, they don't reject His existence. They hate it. That's the whole point here. If you reject it, you just move on. You just move on. It's like a woman. I don't love you anymore. Or a man. I don't love you anymore. 6 months later, they're still pining. Well, wait a minute. If you don't love them anymore, why are you pining? If you really didn't love them anymore, you'd go on with your life. What are you pining about? If you reject His existence, and He doesn't exist, and Christ doesn't exist, He's not the Son of God and all that, why do you hate Him? Why do you hate Him? Because inside, they haven't. Point four. Their hatred for the one doing the sending, God the Father, and the one sent, God the Son, now turns toward all those who believe in God the Father and believe the one He sent, God the Son, and follow Him. So they hate the one who did the sending, they hate the one sent, and they hate those who believe in the one who did the sending and the one who is sent. And finally, point five, knowing that God the Father, or knowing God the Father, and knowing that God the Father sent Him, Jesus Christ, was essential to Jesus Christ. And people, it's got to be essential to us. Got to understand why we're here. We're not here for ourselves. We're not here for the petty things that we turn against each other about. This was paramount in Christ's mind. Let's look at the Gospel of John. Let's just go through, not all, but just a few pertinent passages in dealing with this. So first of all, let's look at the Gospel of John 5. The Gospel of John, chapter 5. And let's read verse 23. John 5:23. So that all will honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent Him. Look at chapter 8. Chapter 8. Verse 19. Chapter 8, 19. So they were saying to Him, "Where is your Father?" Jesus answered, "You know neither me." Okay, you know me, you don't know me. I'm standing right there. What do you mean I don't know you? I know you. You're Jesus. You're the Son of Carpenter. You're the Son of Mary and Joseph. I know, we know you. What do you mean you don't know you? "You know neither me nor my Father. If you knew me, you would know my Father also." Look at chapter 10. Chapter 10, verse 30. And 31. I and the Father are one. You hate me, you hate him. You hate him, you hate me. Oh, no, I hate Jesus, but I don't hate the Father. Yes, you do. These are Christ's own words, not mine. Okay, verse 31. The Jews picked up stones again to stone him. There's the hatred of the world. There's their persecution. See? And these are the types of things that we can count on through history happening to those who follow Christ. Look at chapter 14. Look at chapter 14. Verse 7. Chapter 14, verse 7. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you know him and have seen him. How have we seen him? You've seen me. Look at verse 9. Jesus said to them, have I been with you so long, with you, and yet you have not come to know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? If you hate one, you hate the other, is what the point that I'm trying to show you. Look at chapter 16. Chapter 16, verse 3. These things they will do because they have not known the Father or me. Not known who they were. And finally, chapter 17, verse 25. 17:25, O righteous Father, although the world has not known you, yet I have known you. And these have known that you sent me. So, to know him, to know Jesus Christ, is to know God the Father. Know God the Father, you know Christ, the one he sent. To hate Jesus Christ is to hate the one that sent him. We love God. We don't love you, Jesus. No. If you hate me, you hate the one who sent me, God the Father. Okay, we'll resume here next week and continue in the section dealing with hatred. We'll move to verse 22. Verses 22 through 24 are going to answer the question, why does the world hate Jesus Christ? Why does it hate Jesus Christ? So we'll get to that next week. Let's close with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the warning. There was a brief period in American history where this kind of study would have very little meaning in this country. But a darkness shrouds over it. Movements against your Son. Movements against you. Movements against your Word. And movements toward those, against those who want to be a witness of you. Father, I pray you take the things we've seen tonight and let them settle in our soul where we can make a decision. Am I ready to be a soldier of the cross? Am I ready to take my stand as a witness for Christ regardless of the circumstances, regardless of the repercussions, regardless of the persecution? Or will I shrink back? This hatred is a real thing. This is much different than studying the eternal Jerusalem. It's much different than studying dispensations. Much different than studying the spiritual warfare or the angelic. This is where we live. And when this hatred comes into our homes, into our cities, into our places, it becomes real. So, Father, pray that this will cause us to make some decisions about Bible class, make some decisions about understanding your Word, about walking faithfully in the power of your Spirit, taking that stand. I pray, Father, the time doesn't come when we will need that moral courage that only the Spirit can give to take the stand and witness of Christ. But if it does, We've been warned. We praise you, Father. We thank you. In Christ's name, amen.